Now, I'm just going to roll up the level on this mic a bit, so it's going to be a bit funny here for a second while I fart about.
Beautiful.
But I can. I just need to roll that up to about there, and that's now getting up nearer the red light.
Wonderful. Here we go. You'll be speaking to Jason Jordan.
Okay, thanks, Ed.
Commentator Stilgherrian joins us now. Good evening to you, Stilgherrian.
G'day, Jason.
Now, mate, this is a little bit, I think it's a bigger story than mainstream media are leading us to believe at the moment. I think it's one of those that sounds way too complicated for us to be able to report on, but one that has really quite large implications.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I actually did a spot on a certain television program last night, and I realised in that, you know, 6 minutes wasn't enough to cover anything except the very beginning, like who is Anonymous and where do they come from? Who is Stratfor? What do they do? Why is Anonymous wanting to hack into Stratfor and expose them? I mean, I guess that's where we've got to start, isn't it?
Well, let's do that. Let's begin with defining, first of all, who the two parties involved are. Stratfor, of course, being a security think tank, but it's a global think tank and one that even Australians are making use of.
Well, that's right. It's essentially a private intelligence organisation.
So kind of open source CIA.
Yeah, pretty much. Open source just means they're just looking at the newspapers, reading government reports, looking at the economic statistics, same as you or I could do if we were smart enough to analyse it in this kind of way. And whereas, like, a country has its own intelligence agencies to decide, you know, hey, is the embassy in Baghdad going to be safe? If you're, an oil company and you want to do business in the Middle East, you want to know, well, which governments are stable? Can I safely invest in this country? Is someone else on the brink of civil war? And so you need that kind of information at a strategic level. And you also need it tactically on a day-to-day basis. You know, can our CEO safely travel to this region of a foreign country? So they're doing that kind of work for the private sector. At least that's what we believe that Stratfor is doing. But certainly over the years, it's become clear that they have contacts in many militaries, governments, intelligence organisations around the world, which is where they get their information from.
So, and I guess really for a lot of organisations, when they're asking the question of Stratfor to provide an independent analysis of what's going on, they're actually going to have to provide some potentially confidential information in the first place to get a clear answer.
Well, absolutely. I mean, to use our oil company example, you're going to have to give the oil company's business plan to these guys to work out whether it faces any danger.
All right, so we've got a definition for Stratfor. We know they're a party to some pretty... Well, some information that we wouldn't like to get out, probably into the... Well, I'll take that back because, you know, I'm not a big fan of information being held privately anyway. But in this instance, I think Stratfor wouldn't like for their information just to get out into the general public.
Well, that's right. I mean, there was some stuff that did get out because they actually had newsletters. So when we're talking about... Malcolm Turnbull's name came up in this. Mine is in there, this latest dump of data that Anonymous have released. Yep. I subscribed to some of Stratfor's newsletters a few years back, and my name and email address is in there.
Very interesting. All right, well, let's talk about the other side of this equation then. There's I won't call it an organisation. There's a loose group of hackers, otherwise known as Anonymous, who have really been... Well, they've been up to a lot of tricks over the last 12 months or more, and on this particular occasion, they've done something that really could get them in a little bit more trouble than what they've done in the past.
Well, yes and no. I mean, Anonymous has been responsible for a whole range of attacks this year, including the one on the Sony PlayStation network that liberated, shall we say, the account details of somewhere up towards 100 million customers. So this is smaller in scale, but we'll get onto the impact of it in a minute because that's going to be the big one. Anonymous started, actually, as a group of people who were frustrated with the Scientology religion. Some of them were former members, and they were frustrated by the secrecy, by their inability to speak out against Scientology without the lawyers coming down on them really hard. So they started protesting while wearing these Guy Fawkes masks.
I think a lot of our listeners would recognise those from photos they've seen, specifically in regards to the Occupy movement.
That's right. And what happened is... you know, once you had people protesting behind a mask, there's a whole lot of, well, you know, that's actually a pretty cool thing to do if you want to stick it to the man. You know, you're protesting in a mask, no one knows who you are. It's and the kind of protest movement spread so that it wasn't just against Scientology for being secretive, but, say, against the government for not being open and honest about the Iraq war, or corporations for not being open and honest. So that led naturally, you know, more recently to them supporting the Occupy movement, because again, it's kind of, you know, big government, big business, secret business. They're all kind of seen as the same big secretive organizations, and they're in each other's pockets anyway.
All right, well, let me ask you two questions that comes of that then. Number one, is Anonymous an organized group? Do they have a membership list? Do they have a central website where they coordinate their activities? And number two, in this particular instance with Stratfor, why have they decided to pick on them?
Okay, well, number one is easy. No, Anonymous is not organized in that kind of way. There is no membership list. There is no leader. Anyone who supports the kind of broad objectives of Anonymous can just say, I am part of Anonymous and I am now acting in their name.
But now, surely that means that somebody then who was acting on behalf of the other side could call themselves Anonymous as well.
That's right. And there have been, in the history of the organisation, oh, I shouldn't say organisation, the not organisation.
That's right.
In Anonymous's history, you have had factions, arguments about whether something will and will not happen. I think it was late last year, but certainly at some point someone said, oh, we're going to hack into Facebook and take them down. Yeah. Or nothing ever became of that, and more people in Anonymous said, no, that's not an official Anonymous thing. We don't all kind of loosely agree on that. So I suppose there's kind of a consensus of what they're going to do. And in any group, even if you don't have an official leader, I mean, you know, if you have five blokes who are setting up the barbecue, soon enough one of them will emerge as the leader and organise everyone else.
But is that what Anonymous really is? It's just a group of troublemakers on the internet?
Well, troublemakers, they wouldn't see themselves, well, maybe they do see themselves as troublemakers, causing mischief, perhaps.
Doing it for the lulls?
Doing it for the lulls, for the laughs. Well, that's part of what it's about. And that's why they've been so very successful in getting media attention, because they're just so media friendly. They've got a joke for every occasion. You know, they took down the website of the newspaper The Sun in the UK while all that carry-on was happening a few months back with the News of the World phone voicemail hacking scandal. They took the CIA website offline for a while, and before anyone goes, gee, wow, the CIA, well, it's just their website. There's nothing secure. Everything on the website they wanted the public to see.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah. All right, look, we've spent a good few minutes trying to explain who Stratfor and Anonymous are, and I'm still not sure we've done the best possible job we could have done, but it is a very complicated and multi-layered explanation. Let's just quickly touch on what's actually happened here. Anonymous has gone along. They've been able to hack into the Stratfor network somehow, and I guess what I'm most concerned about is, does this hack actually put any government data or military operations at risk?
Well, there's a big question mark over that, because we don't actually know exactly who Stratfor's clients are and who they work for. Now, they probably do have some contracts to do a bit of research for the government, the US government, maybe other governments, certainly for corporations, but we simply don't know. So the problem that we have, okay, the Anonymous, the people organising this particular hack, we've heard all about the credit cards, that numbers that have been dumped out onto the internet, some 70 or 80,000 of them. That was actually a side issue. That wasn't their aim. Their aim was to get their email, 2.7 million emails going back over years, which will reveal in vast detail not only who their clients are and what they're doing for those clients, but who all of their confidential sources are. And that could be a problem for them, because you might find someone who's, say, an analyst at the CIA or at MI6 in the UK or at ASIS or ASIO here in Australia or in military operations, they might have been passing on information for Stratfor to use. Now they're suddenly in trouble with something that, well, is either a sackable offence or in some cases a jail sentence.
Look, one of the things I am concerned about is that this is, I'm going to put air quotes around it. I hesitate to do that, but it's the only way I can do it on radio. They call themselves an intelligence organization, and yet it appears that one of the most basic requirements for anybody that runs a website is to have a certain level of encryption for the credit cards. We call it PCI DSS in the industry.
Oh, yes.
And it appears to me that they just simply haven't done that.
That's right. The Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard says that you must store all of the credit card information in encrypted form, and you only decode it at the moment you do a transaction, and then you delete that plain text copy. Stratfor was storing all of the credit card details in the same database, or so Anonymous say, in the same database with everyone's name, email address, and all their other contact details. So it's Christmas, basically. And
if anything, what I'm thinking is this is a demonstration of the incompetence of the organisation, number one, but it's going to be extremely embarrassing for them in terms of their reputation.
They pride themselves on secrecy, and obviously they have to protect not only the secrecy of their clients, details and where the oil company might be investing in our hypothetical example, but, all the contacts that they have that feed them information. Now, there's going to be thousands of them, thousands of people around the world. And, this has the potential to put them out of business.
This is not something that the average Joe or you and I individual, perhaps you, but not so much me, needs to worry about, though, is it?
Not directly. It's more that we need to look at this as an example of what can go wrong. But even, all of the people there, Malcolm Turnbull down to me, I think I just subscribed to one of the free newsletters. But all these people whose credit card numbers were in there, they did the right thing. They bought something online, assuming that the merchant was doing the right thing and keeping their data safe. Now, they weren't. And what's interesting is that when research has been done, most companies, when they actually go to face that audit to see whether their systems are up to the PCI DSS standard, most of them actually fail the audit. There are little problems here and there. It's a complex standard, but no one ever manages to get it quite right. Or I think it's about two-thirds don't get it quite right. And, the hackers only have to get it right once. They just have to find the one mistake that you missed.
Yeah, it's a real concern. Now, I understand that you have written some more about this, and we'll be able to get a few more details as of Monday.
Yes. It's a bit more speculation about just how easy it would be, since anyone can call themselves anonymous, for someone to just say, all right, I'm part of Anonymous, I'm joining the team that's doing the hack on someone like Stratfor, but I've also got my own little agenda to follow here.
Well, that's why I was suggesting that the CIA themselves could potentially say that they're acting on behalf of Anonymous.
Oh, yes, or a foreign government.
So, yeah, absolutely.
We can name other countries if you like, but I don't think we need to. Everyone will have their favourite enemy in their head.
Look, it's a complex issue still, Gary, and thank you so much for joining us tonight and attempting to explain it. I know I'm still trying to get my head around it as well. If any of the Nightline family this evening would like to read up a little bit more about it, is it as simple as just going to Google and typing in Stratfor? Will there be plenty of articles out there now?
Absolutely. There's Wikipedia is getting a good sense of it. They'll show you the history. If you just look up Anonymous on Wikipedia, it's got the history of all of their hacks and why they've started targeting organisations like Stratfor.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Well, you might have to, Jason, because we've only seen the credit card dumps so far. What happens when these emails come out? What are they going to reveal?
A lot more to come. Look, I tell you what, we may even be giving you a call next week to find out what else they've actually released, and we can talk even more about how scary it's all become.
That'd be a pleasure.
Good on you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Still Gary in there,
writer, broadcaster, consultant, and technical commentator. You can see
fantastic. We hedged our bets and just gave you four titles. So.
yeah, I do a lot of things. No, that's great.
That no worries. Yeah, sorry, mate. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that was fun.
Oh, good. Oh, great. No, pleased to have you on. Very much so.